My title this morning is one of those tricky ones that you kind of always feel a little bit inadequate about. It's prayer. And, you know, if I were to, and this is one that when you stand up here, you think, oh my, I've got to try and preach on this. And I don't feel I'm the one that is worthy to preach about prayer, if you see what I mean. And if I asked you all, but don't answer, who feels that they pray enough? A lot of you would probably go, no, I don't. I don't think I pray enough. And that's one of these things, isn't it? And so I'm going to, perhaps I'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would be with me at this time and help me to share something of what prayer is, and that we would be able to take hold of this and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll just read Matthew 6 from verse 5. And this is Jesus talking. And when you pray, so it's and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. It's probably a different society than we live in. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Don't go on and on and on. The more you repeat it, the more God might hear you. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You might think that's funny, but you know often what your children need before they come and ask you, don't you? What they need. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's quite a bit in there, really, isn't there? And when you look at this country, which now has become quite godless, isn't it, Britain? And you look at society, and we're not the kind that impress people by praying on the street corners. You might be in some parts of the world where it might look religious, but here it might not, although we have done it in times. But it's not an impressive thing. Prayer perhaps doesn't impress, but you know, a lot of people probably wouldn't even say prayer's important than that, but they did a survey and it showed that 3/4 of people, not church people out there, pray every week.
Oh, do they?
And you get these kind of prayers. God bless mummy and daddy. Yeah? God bless mummy and daddy. People say it. You get, God, please help my team win the cup. They might not say God, you know, but they kind of, God help us win the cup, yeah? You could say, is that a prayer? But you see, they're calling on someone. God help me win the lottery. Yeah? These are things people do. God help me win the... And maybe they'll even add on to the end of that. If I win, I'll give something to the church. As if like, oh, God's... I'm doing God a favor. Yeah? I'll do God a favor if you help me win. And this is what people do. You know, they something that is perhaps a formula or superstition, edging one's bets, covering all angles, you know. That, well, there might be a God out there and he might be listening to me, and hey ho, you never know, he might hear what I'm saying. There are people who will pray in times of crisis. You know, God help me, I've got this court case coming up. God help me, I've got an exam coming up. Oh, please help me pass this exam. God help me find my car keys, I'm desperate. I'm not saying that these things are wrong, I'm just saying this is what people do that maybe have no understanding of God. But, you know, God don't let my mum die. Yeah? I bet a lot of people pray that. That don't go anywhere near a church, don't know anything about God. God don't let my mum die. And people will pray. If there's an answer, and I've seen this myself, if there's an answer, it's quickly forgotten. They don't come back and say, thank you, God. They just move on. And I've seen people that have come into contact that have made prayers. They have acknowledged God in the situation, as it were. God, if you help me do this, I will do that. And when it's happened, they don't do what they said they would do. They just put it down to coincidence, or it just would have happened, or I don't know what really. And they even know that it's quite, you know, amazing what's happened. So people don't always give thanks, even if they've put a prayer in. Although I don't know what happens when you have a football match and both sides are all praying for their team to win. That's a dilemma you get to draw. No one's happy then. So what is prayer? Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. That's what we've just heard. So he says, go into private. Don't have to make a show of it. And what I think we begin to see is that it's a relationship rather than a ritual. Praying is a relationship. It's all part of a relationship. It's not about a ritual. You know, if I do it like this, God will, you know, I'm not saying God won't answer, but some people feel that they have to pray in a church. See, if I go into a church, God is going to hear me. It's not about a ritual. It's talking to God, your Father. That's what it's about. It's talking to your Father. In the Garden of Eden, God came down. He talked with Adam and Eve. How's your day been, Adam? Well, we went over there and we saw this funny bouncing animal. Oh. And then we went over there and we saw this other animal that just chewed and chewed and chewed. All right. And they talked. That's what communication was. And that's the beginning of prayer. It's about a relationship. Talking to your Father. Jesus said, do not keep babbling like pagans. Do you know when your little child comes and keeps nagging, 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 nagging for something? That's a funny old relationship, isn't it? You think, oh, that's great. Keep nagging me all the time. And maybe that's not the best example, but Jesus said, don't keep babbling on like the pagans do. Maybe they just kept on using chants and repetitive things, thinking that that was a formula to get through to God. And it doesn't need a formula. It's a relationship. I know on another occasion, Jesus, you know, he said, be persistent when there's an issue. So there is room for that, isn't there? It is a conversation with your Heavenly Father. You know, it is about talking. So think about it. Think about prayer like talking. Think of it as talking. When we pray, it is not to others. Sometimes when you go into a mixed prayer meeting, not mixed, a group of people praying, people are praying to other people in the room. You know, they're telling you everything. I'm not just saying, you know, we do have to talk and we do have to say stuff. So, you know, you judge your own heart. Are you just telling other people or are you talking to God? It's not to ourselves. It's not to the ceiling. You're talking to God, yeah, when you pray. So Christian prayer is a prayer to your Father. Jesus taught us to pray to our Father in heaven. God is personal. Some religions have a God that is out there. A lot of people believe God is out there. He created the world, he wound it up, and he let it go. And our prayers have no impact on him, or he's just too big to be concerned with us. But God is personal. He's interested in your life. He came down to see Adam and Eve and talk and walk with them. He was interested in what they did. Even, you know, what they saw, what they liked, what they didn't like. He was interested. But we have this relationship, and we heard about this last week. We have a relationship with the Father through what Jesus has done for us. Jesus died, took away our sins, and we have this special place now that we can call God. It says Abba in the Bible. It's like an intimate. It's not distant God. God, O distant one, mighty, that I can hardly approach you. It's like saying, well, some people say it's like saying Dad or Father. It's a closer thing than that. It's strange to some other religions that we can come close to a Dad, a Father who wants to know us. It's quite an intimate title. He is in heaven. He is the creator. He has made this vast world. And when I go up in a plane, I think, my word, God's big. Look at that world he made. How can he be interested in a little old me right down there, if I was down there at the time, in this vastness? And yet he's interested in all of us. From a plane, we wouldn't even see this building. But somehow God is interested in each one of us. And, you know, he enjoys and wants to hear from us. So he is this mighty creator. He is dealing with the huge issues, but he also wants to deal with our own lives. And Christian prayer is through the Son. You know, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. And we speak to the Father because what has Jesus done? Jesus has broken this barrier of sin. He's broken through this separation. Through his death on the cross, he removed the barrier, and we have this relationship. And that's why sometimes we say, you know, through Jesus or in Jesus' name. And there is power in Jesus' name, and that's how we come. In Ephesians 2:18, it says, Paul says, through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. And John in chapter 15, 16 says, Jesus says that his Father would give whatever you ask in my name. And we often end prayers by saying, and I was asked this at the Friday meal once, why do you say in Jesus' name? So it's interesting that people are watching what you do and what you say. And sometimes it could be a bit of a formula or a bit of a ritual. But the idea is that we're acknowledging that we are speaking to the Father through what Jesus has done. So sometimes we finish a prayer, we might say, you know, in Jesus' name. Because we are coming through Jesus because of what he's done. Because we are his body. And Jesus, this position that he has, this closeness with the Father, this place that he's made, it gives us authority. It gives us accessibility. If I went to the bank in my own name with a check signed David Evans for a couple of million pounds, that doesn't have any meaning, does it? But if I go to the bank with a check with Bill Gates on it and it's genuine, that's in his name. And I get the money. And when we go to the bank of heaven in Jesus' name, it has authority. And when we, and the access that we have to the Father, how many of us could go and see the Queen tomorrow? It'd be quite hard. be hard to go and talk to her and say, hello. But if you had married into the family, you'd be able to go along pretty easy and talk. And in a sense, the position we have in Christ is a bit like both of those. We have the access because of the family. We are in Christ. So we have access to the Father through Christ. We have the authority of that signature in Christ. And that's what coming in Jesus is about. So if we go in our own, and there's, you know, lots of people trying to pray, but, and Christian prayer is a prayer by one Spirit. Paul writes, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. You don't know what to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. You know, when you see the news sometimes, I don't know if you've watched the news these last few weeks. Sometimes you struggle to know what to actually pray, don't you? You look at it and you think, there's part of you that says, bring down fire on them. And there's what should be part of us that's saying, Lord, give a revelation to those evil people that who you are in Christ. You know, who you are, Jesus, what you've done. And when you've got someone close to you that is very ill, sometimes we struggle to know what to pray. When you've got someone who's very close to death, and you think, oh, it's an easy answer. You know, we pray for healing. It isn't always the right answer, is it? When my mum was in her 80s, that's what my initial response would be, I pray for healing. And then you think, well, actually, it's very likely it's her time to go. And then you struggle because you want her healed. It suits me. And maybe this is her time to go. And we struggle sometimes, don't we? And the Holy Spirit, sometimes in our groaning, the words won't even come out. Sometimes in tears, we pray. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So God knows, and we sometimes struggle. You know, our selves want one thing, and it might not be what God wants. And sometimes we just don't know what to pray. Bring it to God, though. Bring it to God. God, through his Holy Spirit, helps us pray. And when we are in a place or a situation where we just can't speak, we may weep or groan, and yet God understands, because his Spirit in us is communicating through us. And it says that in the Bible, that sometimes we struggle. But at least we're in that place of, God, I bring this to you. I don't know what to say. I'm struggling. You're not ignoring God, are you? Why should we pray? Why talk? I'm not the best. I can talk non-stop sometimes, and I'm hopeless at other times. I'm pretty drastic, really, because I don't know when the last time I talked to anyone in my family was. Not my family, but my brothers and sisters. I'm the world's worst. It's not a broken relationship or anything. I'm just, I don't know, community dysfunctional in that. So, anyway, yeah. Maybe I'll have to go and ring them all this week now. Anyway, why talk? You know, we talk. Why do you sit at the table and chat? We sit at the table and chat. Talking is about relationship, isn't it? Talk about things, have a laugh, joke around. Talking is good. It's how you build a relationship. You might just start, hello. Oh, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. And then it builds. It just starts, and a relationship, that's just a very small relationship, and it grows. And it's as much as you want to take, as much as you want to talk, isn't it? If you don't talk, that relationship stays very small. And if you talk, it grows. And if you meet and chat every week or whatever it is, if it's a weekly thing or a whatever, that relationship can grow. And God is our Heavenly Father. And we are privileged to be able to communicate with Him. It's a privilege. Prayer builds a relationship with God. Jesus prayed all the time. He said to His disciples, when you pray, not if you pray. When you pray. It's expected of us. And Jesus says that we will benefit from prayer. Prayer not only changes us, because it does affect you. If you pray for your enemies, you start seeing them slightly differently. If you start to pray for a change in that situation, for someone that you have no love for. Yeah? If you pray for them, very hard to pray for an enemy. But you can see them differently if you pray for them. It changes you. We have to believe that God changes the situation, or He gives opportunity for that situation to change. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Every Christian knows through experience that God answers prayer. I should think all of you have an experience of answered prayer. It is not, you can't prove Christianity on answered prayer, because people will be cynical and explain it away. But in your heart, you know it's right. They'll just say it's a coincidence. But as more answers you get in your heart, the more you know that God is there listening. Does God always answer prayer? Well, if we're not in a right relationship with God, He may be gracious to answer, but we may be approaching God outside of Christ. Yeah? So God can be bigger than our understanding, so He can be gracious. God wants us to find Christ, and I know of people outside of, and many people outside of Christ have prayed and had answers to prayer, and it would lead them to Christ, and it would lead to God. But God, outside of Christ, it's a different place. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but by me. We may be Christians, but have sin or disobedience in our lives. Yeah? So you could be a Christian, but you've got sin or disobedience in your life. And that would put a barrier between your answers. So God might be saying, but you need to deal with that situation, and you're not listening. So sin and disobedience in our lives can be a thing that stops us getting the answer. We need to put our lives in order. We need to repent or confess our sin and turn from that disobedient position that we're in. We may have unforgiveness in our lives. That can be something that stops God answering our prayers, because we are unforgiving to others. Our motivation might be wrong. James writes, you want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet. It's quite strong language, isn't it? But you cannot have, because he's talking to the church, is he? You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The other time we read somewhere that it says, get a job so that you can earn money so that you can bless other people. There's an interesting motivation there. Get a job so you can bless others. And here it says, you only want so that you can enjoy yourself on it. So think about that one. And sometimes our prayers can be very self-motivated. And even this week, I was praying or thinking of this prayer, and I thought, actually, I've worded that prayer in a such a way that I'm kind of tramlining God to give me an answer that I want. Even though I was, it'd be like saying, God, confirm to me that this is the right road to Brighton. I'm driving down the right road to Brighton. Now, God could confirm that road, but it's not the road he wants me on. Do you see what I mean? It was a kind of prayer that was like, confirm this to me, Lord. And you think, but actually, God might not want you on that road anyway. See, so sometimes we have to think that of what we're saying. We're putting a tram lines for God to, you say, God, confirm this to me. And he could confirm it, but it's not what he wants for you. And sometimes you think, I have to open that prayer wider. Should I be there, here, or should I do that? And sometimes they are all about me. You know, God bless me. And maybe God wants you to think about others, you know. So sometimes we have to think of these. Sometimes prayers are not answered because what we want is not good for us. You know, if little Sydney said, Dave, can I play with that knife? You might say, no, you can't play with that knife. You don't give it to her because she will ask for it. And God might not give us something because he knows it's not good for us. You know, can you have this? Well, no, it wouldn't do you any good. And you think, yeah, but they've got it. I want that. And he goes, no, it'll do you more harm than good. And so he doesn't give it to you. How should we pray? God doesn't want us to repeat meaningless words. He wants to hear what is on our hearts. And I know, I don't know, sometimes we have different things, and I'm not sure if this is something here that I've come across that's called ACTS, a guide to prayer, you know, pointers. ACTS stands for, it's not the book of the Bible in this case, it's adoration. Start with adoration. Praise God for who he is. We heard about that last week. Who is God? Do you know who God is? Can you say it? That's why it's important for us to know who God is. So hopefully in time we'll learn more about who God is. Who is God? We need to confess that, say it, speak it out. We had some of that this morning when Viv said, just speak out to God. Yeah? Praise God for who he is. Do you know some of our prayers are, God, what do they go straight into? I want. Like a little kid, I want. Can you sort this out? There's no adoration. Praising God, who he is, what he's done. Thank you that you are a great God that's made this beautiful world. That you are interested in me. Yeah, you can start something like that. Confession. You know, you might say, is there something in my life that I need to sort out? Or there might be something you know that you need to sort out. Help me, Lord, to do battle with that situation, Lord. I'm struggling with that. I struggle with the willpower to help me in it. If you know, whatever. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is always a good thing to. God wants a thankful heart. Thanksgiving. We can thank him for health, family, friends. There's always something to thank God for. Thank him for Jesus. And then at the end of it, the bit that we always dive in with, well, not always. We can pray for ourselves, our friends, the situation. But we usually start with that straight in. Boom, God, in we go. I want. And they've put that last in this little list because acknowledge who God is. Give him thanks. Look at our situation. Then we can ask. And Jesus gave us a pattern, which is what I read out to start with. Our Father in heaven. Heavenly Father. So how sometimes we start, or what Jesus gave, we've turned into a form, into like a ritual, haven't we? How many times we repeat our Father. Go to a funeral and we do it. Put it in there. It comes up, you know, It's become a kind of ritual. But really, it was a pattern, a blueprint to sort of build on that blueprint. It's not magic words. It might be if your heart's in the right place and you really pray it. But it becomes a sort of formula for, let's say, these rich religious words, and God listens to religious words. But he actually wants your heart. So sometimes you need to change things around so that you're not just repeating words, meaningless words, as it says. Our Father in heaven, we can thank God for who he is and our relationship with him. Hallowed be your name. God is pure. His character and reputation should be honored. In our society, God, Jesus, has become a swear word. Yeah, you won't get through a film now without him being turned into a swear word or a flippant word. Many people pay no attention to him or his laws. Hallowed be your name. We should hold his name in highest respect. You know, we can. His name is trampled on all the time. The Muslims don't allow it, do they? You know, you say something bad against Muhammad or Allah, probably Muhammad more, and, you know, you'll have a death threat because they're trying to honor their name. Now, we're not going to copy that. That's Jesus can look after himself is how I look at it. He can look after himself. But for us, you know, it says, hallowed be your name. Do we keep his name, or will we go out of here and before the end of the day blaspheme his name? Yeah. Your kingdom come. Well, we heard a lot of this at camp, didn't we? I think. I'm reading a book at the moment, God's Kingdom. God's kingdom is his rule and reign, which will be complete when Jesus returns. We are praying for God's ways to be present now and completed when Jesus returns. We want to see people converted. We want people to come into that relationship. A changed life. Healed, set free from evil. Filled with his Holy Spirit. We want honesty, truth, justice, fairness, openness. These are God's ways. We are praying for the transformation of our society. We want to see marginalized in society helped. That's God's kingdom. God wants people to be blessed. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When God says something in heaven, his word is done, isn't it? We want God to be involved and to put him first. Bring God into the equation. Do you live your life without bringing God into what you're doing? What does God want in this situation in your life? Have God's perspective on your life as you're going through your life. So your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me bring you into my life. Am I doing this? Is this good for your kingdom, for you, God? Give us today our daily bread. Our basic needs, it's not the luxuries. Our daily bread, it's our basic needs. Everything necessary for preservation of this life, like food, health, good weather, house, home, family, clothing. Good government, peace. God is concerned about us and wants to hear about the things we are concerned about. So that's, give us our daily bread. Give us what we need to live a life in peace. What about praying for your work situation or life situation? Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Oh, a tough one here. It would be kind of good if this one was blotted out. We need to be able to forgive. Unforgiveness and bitterness to others distracts us from God. It's not good for us. It can cause all sorts of health problems. I've seen it. Brings health problems. It brings separation between us and God. Barrier. Can focus on the wrong things. Can focus on that person who's done that wrong to me. And that becomes your obsession. Jesus said, if you forgive others, and when we were at camp, they were talking about this, it's letting go of the situation. Let that boat go down the river. Let hand it over to God. Let that situation, put it into God's hands. Don't try and solve it yourself, and don't dwell on it. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's quite tough, isn't it? We cannot earn forgiveness. Jesus achieved that for us on the cross. But the sign that we are forgiven is that we are willing to forgive other people. If we are not willing to forgive other people, that is evidence that we do not know forgiveness ourselves. So it's turned round. Yeah? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God does not tempt us, but he is able to guide us away from situations that aren't helpful to us. We all have weaknesses, and sometimes some information isn't good for us. You know, sometimes it's better if you didn't know some things. But, and if we have a weakness, it gives us something to pray about for protection. And then it's when should we pray? The New Testament says always. We don't have to go into a church to pray. Some people think that that's what you have to do, go into a church and pray. And sometimes I think we can judge ourselves by things like that. I haven't been into the church to pray this week. We can pray on a park bench. We can pray in our car. You can pray in bed. You can pray in the garden. You can pray when you're out on a walk. You can pray when you're cycling. Yeah? Do you know, I was cycling along once, just on a bike ride, and I just felt prompted once while I was cycling along, pray for Anderson and Claudia. Just out of the blue. And I know exactly where it was. And it was just weird. I just prayed just out in the blue a couple of years back. And I think it was at the time when they had all trouble happened. And I was just cycling along. I was out for enjoying my bike ride. All my Lycra on. And I was enjoying that. But I was just prompted in there, pray for, they were miles away. They were in another country. The Middle East, and pray for them. And it can just happen anywhere, can't it? You can pray anywhere, any situation. Doesn't have to be in church. Jesus said, go into a room, private. You know, Jesus prayed in a garden, didn't he? You go up in the woods, or up on the mountain top. He liked going up the mountain. You can pray in the middle of the night. I think that's Gunilla's testimony this morning, wasn't it? On your own, just pray wherever. We can pray on our own. We can pray with others. Jesus says, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So there's pray on your own, pray in groups. Pray one or two. You can pray on all sorts of occasions. It is good to talk. You think of God as a friend. It's good to talk to a friend, isn't it? It's good to talk to God. I just finish with a story, because what I would like us to do, just perhaps through this week, is focus on not God give me this, I want that, help me this, help me that. I want us to think about what we've been doing a bit of this morning, speaking out about who God is in your times. And let me read you a little story here. It's a modern little parable. It's a little story. A farmer lived on the same farm all his life. It was a good farm, but with the passing of years, the farmer began to tire and longed for change, for something better. Every day he found a new reason for criticizing some feature of the farm. Finally, he decided to sell and contacted an agent who prepared a sale advertisement. As one might expect, it emphasized all the farm's advantages. Ideal location, modern equipment, healthy stock, acres of fertile ground, water. Before advertising, the agent called the farmer and read a copy to him for his approval. When he had finished, the farmer said, "Hold everything. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to sell. I've been looking for a place like this all my life." And he kind of lost focus on what he had. And we need to focus on what we have, who God is, and give him glory for who he is, yeah? So I'm going to pray and then we'll finish. But I'd like you to take that little story and I'd like to take your situation and I'd like you to focus through this week on adoration and thanksgiving, yeah? Not to say you can't pray for situations, but give God thanks for. We've all got something to give God thanks for in our own lives, and we can all give thanks for who he is and acknowledge who he is. Father, I thank you that you are a great big creator God that is bigger than our little minds can even cope with. But I thank you that you are so interested, so caring, so wanting to know about us and want us to have that relationship with you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you made that possible, that all that you had to achieve in man, you achieved. And all that you had to achieve in God, you achieved. And thank you, Jesus, that you achieved everything that you needed to achieve, that now you are fully glorified, that you are sat down in glory, interceding for us, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to acknowledge who you are. Help us to give thanks for who you are. Help us to thank you for what you've done for us. And help us to live in that. In Jesus' name, amen.